You ready? Okay. I'm convening the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee for the purpose of receiving the budget message. The budget committee members received copies of the budget on Thursday, April 28th. I will now request that Gina call the roll.
Hish?
Here.
Saltzman? Absent. Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome, everyone. I now request that the Portland Development Commission present their budget message. Good afternoon.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, I'm Tom Kelly, the chair of the Portland Development Commission. PDC is pleased to participate in today's work session of the fiscal year 2016-17 requested budget. I'm joined today by Executive Director Patrick Winton and Budget Officer Tony Barnes. The budget before you today was created between November and January and is informed by PDC's strategic plan and agency work plan, which the board reviewed at its annual retreat in December. All projects reviewed using guidelines, guiding city policies, including the Portland plan and the draft 2035 comp plan. The budget was reviewed by PDC's two budget advisory groups, the Central City Budget Advisory Committee and the Neighborhood Economic Development Leadership Budget Subcommittee, as well as PDC's board members on January 27th. Letters from the advisory groups are included in the requested budget document. Staff, stakeholders, and PDC board members were aligned on key urban renewal area project budget decisions, which include complete acquisition of the U.S. Postal Service site in the River District, which the documents have been signed. construction of the Convention Center Hotel parking garage, implementation of Lentz Town Center projects, implementation of the Halsey-Wilder investment strategy, construction of the Bond Avenue in North McAdam. Included in the budget and to be detailed in Patrick's overview are PDC's recommended general fund 5% fund cuts, as well as five decision packages that would add $1.1 million in either one-time or ongoing funding to citywide economic development priorities that align with PDC's strategic plan, including the PAL Division Local Action Plan, the Small Business Increase Project, and the B Corp program. As we move closer to the sunset of active urban renewal areas and recognize the limitations of TIF to move forward critical components of the PDC strategic plan, we will begin implementing the work of PDC's Financial Sustainability Committee for next fiscal year. The committee was created at the request of the board last year with a charter to advise on the development of a business plan to guide PDC's transition to long-term financial sustainability. The committee met four times from September through December, and with the help of and expertise of a consultant, helped guide the staff to draft a business plan that addresses the financial needs for programming, projects, and operations. The board reviewed the information to date during the board retreat in December, where we agreed and communicated to the mayor how long-term financial sustainability of PDC is one of our highest priorities. Staff has been working on a business plan document since then, which we hope to bring to council soon and take action on in the coming months. So with that, I'll turn it over to Patrick.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. And we're going to walk through. So we'll walk through the budget, and this is our full budget. So we have URA by URA descriptions. Actually, we'll put the agenda up, and you can see that. But I do want to leave time for discussion with all of you. I've tried to meet with each of you individually in advance to see what questions, to anticipate what questions you have. But of course, we're open to any questions today. And obviously, the vote doesn't happen until next week. So we'll do an overview of the budget. Chair Kelly, covered some of the highest points on that, and then we'll walk through the actual. The budget itself, starting from the overall budget, but both on the revenue and expense side, our five-year forecast, remind everybody where we are on the affordable housing set aside, and then get into the specific urban renewal area budgets. And then we'll have two representatives from the budget advisory committees that Chair Kelly referenced, and then, as I mentioned, hopefully we'll have enough time for your questions and requests for additional information. So, as you know, our budget always is presented to you within a particular context, within particular priorities. Chair Kelly highlighted the most important one, which was we adopted a new strategic plan last year, and everything we do in terms of setting annual work plans and annual budgets is in service to that strategic plan. The strategic plan is very ambitious, but in another respect, it also shifts the agency's work to be more explicit about public benefits, who benefits from our work, and really to think about how we create widespread prosperity within Portland. So thinking about access to employment, access to wealth creation opportunities, and so the it's a gradual shift, but hopefully you can see in our budget working toward that. Second key issue that we're dealing with, as Chair Kelly mentioned, is our long-term business plan. And so as we are producing this business plan and hopefully present it to you soon, we are beginning to adopt some of the more obvious principles, and that really is trying to use our existing asset base in a way that both accomplishes the objectives of our strategic plan but also provides long-term financial sustainability. So we are thinking about how to put money to work, get money back, and put it out again. You'll see that in our forecasts. But also we're beginning to structure our investments in a way that will allow for them to be used in a more flexible way in the future. And lastly, as an organization, we continue to try and right-size the organization, if you will, to fit our long-term forecast. So we've had another early retirement program, so we have some additional staff departures that'll bring down in a gradual way staffing size, and we continue to reduce our operating expenses as well. We have a slide on the housing set aside, but you all know that we amended the housing set aside policy in the past year. This is the first full fiscal year in which you see the impact of that, and it is significant. So we'll talk about the shift in those dollars. And then as Chair Kelly mentioned, we do have a number of key initiatives happening across urban renewal areas, and we can get into them in the specific areas. But you're seeing a lot of work happening in the convention center, downtown waterfront, as the real estate market has been revived. River District, obviously, with the post office, Centennial Mills. So you can see the money being budgeted for those purposes. And then, of course, in Gateway and Lentz, we have active work happening on different scales, but to try and make good on the promises of those urban renewal areas. So as a whole, you can see this is our budget. We look at our budget from two angles. One is the resources and one is the expenditures. So this is the picture of resources. And as in previous years, we are sitting on significant debt proceeds from previous debt that has been issued. And so that constitutes the largest single piece of our resource base, and nearly $250 million. We have a lot of items in our budget this year, so we hope to make progress in reducing that number. But it is a significant amount of money. And then the additional resources that we project primarily come from new debt that would be issued. That's about $100 million. I think that's mainly short-term debt. Right. So that's mainly short-term debt, not long-term debt.
So for the people watching at home, why do we have such a big beginning balance?
It's debt proceeds debt that's been issued. We have the proceeds and hasn't been spent yet. And so in places like the Oregon Convention Center District, we issued debt a few years ago in anticipation of making investment in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. That project hasn't happened. So we have situations like that across a number of urban renewal areas. And then we have other districts where the increment continues to come in and we don't have expenditures to match that. And in River District, we have money flowing in, but these major projects have all been queued up, but they really haven't, there hasn't been significant expenditures. So you'll see that those resources flowing out, but it's really those two sources. It's both bonds that have been issued and just regular increment, basically the money that flows in within urban renewal districts.
The debt proceeds are what we're planning to issue.
The debt proceeds in the green on that side, that's what we expect to issue. But even that is short-term, meaning that's money that we will collect throughout the year.
Right,
that
so
will
the difference between the orange and the green is one we've already borrowed, and the
yes.
other where we're going to borrow.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
And then you see the other small slices of revenue for us. This helps talk about the long-term financial sustainability picture for us, because if you take away the orange and the green, we're a pretty small agency with very, very little resources. The challenge for us is to grow those other pie wedges so that they actually constitute a kind of full set of programs as the green and the orange go away. On the budget side, we have $293 million in proposed expenditures. So once again, if you just look, there is about $100 million of our carryover balance that doesn't get spent. That's just because we don't have projects that are lined up to happen in this fiscal year. That money, once again, that will carry forward and fund future work, but there will remain a balance at the end of the year. The largest chunk of what's going out, and you'll see it in individual projects, is in property redevelopment, and you'll see that that's mainly in the River District. So when we get to River District, you'll see how we get to a number of $172 million worth of expenditures, but I would expect that this coming year would be a significant amount of money moving out the door in the agency. And then the other piece of it is obviously the housing side, where while the percentage is only 24%, the number is a fairly significant number, 70 million. We can go through that, but the set aside, just as a reminder, it's calculated against new proceeds that come into the agency. So 24% represents the percentage of this total budget, but it's not 24% of all new proceeds. It's a much higher percentage of that. And then smaller amounts being spent, as you see, on things like our economic development programs, some infrastructure investments, but then the operations of the agency. So I've mentioned the set aside now a few times. Here is the picture, and we'll get into individual renewal areas where we talk about the amount that's going out in 16, 17. This is a picture of what is going out through 25, 26, basically the remainder of the life of our existing urban renewal areas. So we have $300 million really left to spend on the set aside. The different categories are: we have three closed out districts that are no longer issuing debt. When debt was issued there was money set aside for affordable housing. That money sits in our budget. So you see that's about $20 million. And then the remainder, about $284 million, is money that will flow into affordable housing from either existing resources or new debt in those districts. You can see how the amended set-aside policy played out. The percentages are very different across different urban renewal areas, with interstate having a significant, basically the bulk of the dollars that remain in the interstate district will be going into affordable housing, so 70%. And North McAdam had a significant increase, as did Lentz, and then the rest fall pretty close to that 30% number that we've used for many years. As I said, we're going to have individual renewal area summaries, but I think everybody's familiar with where we are on the set aside. So before I get into the individual renewal areas, let's just this is a different way of showing you our 5-year forecast. So what this graph shows you is in the solid blue is what's included in this year's budget, 16-17 budget, by category, and then the remainder of each of these bars is what's left over the remaining 5 years of our 5-year forecast. So as an example, you look at the housing category, that $70 million number is in the dark blue there. There's another 130 going over the next 5 years, and then you saw the remaining amount in the last 5 years of our renewal areas. Same is true on the property redevelopment side. And then the other categories, it's kind of a proportional over the next, this year versus the next 5 years. What's the total number over this 5-year period, Tony? You have that handy?
So it's approximately, I want to say it's $450 million.
Yeah. So
that's net of transfers,
right? So if everyone's okay with moving forward, we can dive right in, and we'll start with River District, if since that's has a lot of activity. So as you know, the priorities in River District remain the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan, and so that was passed by City Council 2 years ago. That committed the PDC to invest over $50 million in Old Town. That was across two urban renewal areas, both River District and downtown waterfront. But it is, you know, there's significant activity happening within Old Town. If you walk through Old Town right now, you obviously see probably half a dozen to 10 active projects. A lot of those aren't our projects, which is a great sign. So we're trying to be strategic in how we deploy resources on redevelopment projects in Old Town, knowing that there is a lot of privately driven projects happening, but we are involved. You see the Grove, work is happening on the Grove. We are actively trying to find a project that we can move forward on the old fire station, right off of Gleason. So those are the type of projects that we will be actively involved in. But the real estate market is very active now on its own in Old Town. One thing you'll see us and you'll see in the business plan going forward is us trying to think about how we address parking issues within Old Town, not as a way to expand parking in the district, but as a way to allow for development of a surface parking lot. So if you look at the development sites in Old Town that are yet to be developed and where we think activity is constrained, it's the surface parking lots. And so we would like to be able to add structured parking in Old Town sometime over the next 5 years as a way of allowing for those surface parking lots to be developed and meet the even minimal parking needs of development that will happen in the neighborhood. You all know very much, you all know a lot about the post office. I'm not going to go into to the details of the transaction at this point, but what do we project going out in 16-17 in the post office?
So it's $68 million for the expenditure.
So we will close on the acquisition, or we will fund to the postal service money to purchase the Colwood property. That's half of that number, and then the rest will be the beginning of our payment to them to fund the construction of it. So that's a significant amount going out in a single fiscal year. Could be a record going out in a single fiscal year for a single project.
Well, let's just pause there and say thank you, Patrick Quinton and Chair Tom Kelly, for getting that done. It's been a long time coming, and to me it's a win-win having the post office stay in Portland and be adjacent to our Colwood facility with the park. It's a much more family-friendly next-door neighbor than what might have gone there otherwise. So I really appreciate it, and it's exciting that, Mayor Hales, you've teed this up for the next mayor, whoever he or she may be.
Several mayors
to come.
Talking about this for 25 years.
Yes, yeah. I think this is one urban renewal project that is not going to be overturned by the next mayor, and in fact is going to be very much embraced. So congratulations all around.
Thank you.
Big deal. Patrick deserves our thanks for pulling this off. Chair Kelly and the rest of the board have been hugely supportive, but Patrick, you did this and you pulled this off, and we have been talking about this for 25 years. At least I've been in conversations about it for 25 years since Vera Katz may be the commissioner in charge of the Planning Bureau. So, you know, it's been that long, at least in my experience, and to finally pull off a seemingly simple deal. I mean, the deal basically is, here's the keys to your new building, give us the deed to your land. But there's a little more to it than that.
Yeah,
and, there's a lot more, yeah. It's yeah. Finally been done. Yeah. So, amazing.
Well, we really appreciate it. I'm happy to have this happen, at least the acquisition during my tenure, but I really, there's an incredible team that's worked on this, and even staff who no longer with PDC. So really all the credit goes to them. And then, you know, I hope you don't forget, you took an action that many people might disagree with, but you basically lent us additional money to fund the obligations in the River District to help us make this happen. So we really appreciate the city stepping out as well. We're kind of all in this together on this deal, and we're confident it's all going to work out, but we appreciate City Council supporting us when we really needed it. So thank you.
As Transportation Commissioner, I want to add my special thanks that I now have something to say to people who live in the neighborhood of the current post office who complain about the postal trucks rumbling by all the time.
Yes.
I can tell them, you just hang tight, they'll go away.
We're doing so right.
We're working on that right now.
Don't you lace see the construction commissioner? I think you might not want to mention that.
Yeah,
just
eventually.
I won't mention that.
So I'm going to skip Union Station for a second just because that's a that's like the next big thing. But Centennial Mills, I've briefed you on this, but we are finished with phase one of the deconstruction, as we call it. But if you've been by there, you see it really is a deconstruction, not a demolition. We preserve the two most historic buildings. We preserve the MPU. It allows for development to happen that can incorporate those elements if it's possible or can make future decisions. We're now beginning phase two of the deconstruction, and that's really to remove the top of the wharf. The pilings will stay in the water, but remove the top of the wharf. It'll expose the bank again, and then there'll be bank restoration work. And those two phases will create a development platform that really both allows for private development to happen, but also allows for greater public access, finishes the greenway on that property. And I think that's around $6 or $7 million in a new contract that our board approved last board meeting that will fund that work. And that'll leave a little bit of money left in our $20 million budget for Centennial Mills that we will make available to a developer should that be the necessary element to take on the project with the preserved elements.
Patrick, when we designed and built the fields, there was a placeholder bridge to cross the tracks and connect the Centennial Mills property. Given the change in the course of what we're doing with Centennial Mills, what's the status of that particular proposal?
So, you know, everything that was in that original vision is kind of still out there. I think it's, you know, it's all possible. It's not in our budget per se, meaning we kind of set a limit of $20 million to invest in this site. We were under budget actually on the first phase of deconstruction. The $6 million for the second phase is a little higher than we anticipated, so we're using up some of that excess. But it will leave around $5 million at the end that like I said, will provide an incentive for private development. But someone's going to have to figure out if they can incorporate that element within their budget or not, or if there's going to need to be other public dollars to add elements like the bridge. Obviously, there's no plans right now for a dock, but if somebody wants that. So that's where it's at. It's not specifically funded. It's just part of the vision. I will say and support your comment there. When we had our last open house on the topic, you know, if you ask the public who came and offered their ideas and what they wanted to see, the pedestrian bridge was one of the most commonly referenced elements. So
you mentioned the mounted patrol unit. Remind me what the previous budget note said regarding funding for that.
I don't remember. So if you want to remind me, I'm happy to remind it.
Well, I know it said something about whether that you need to come back to council before funding. I just wasn't sure about whether it was for relocation or for improvements to the existing facility. And this isn't an answer that obviously we need to answer right now. Do budget notes carry over, or do we need another one to make it clear that we have not authorized improvements to the current facility nor money for a future one?
So, the current plan or from our perspective is rather than demolish the existing facility, when we looked at the project, we saw that the project could continue to incorporate the existing facility, so we made a decision not to demolish it. So we have an existing building. I don't believe it really added much in the way of cost to the demolition. So in some respects, we haven't spent any money on the new facility. There's a question that remains as to if the MPU comes back and reoccupies that facility. There is some work has to be done on the building because it was attached to other buildings and stuff. So how that gets paid for, and then we're now in negotiations with the Portland Police Bureau on a lease because they were basically leasing it from us. So if they're going to return, we need to have lease revenue on that in order to maintain ownership of that piece of the property. So we don't have any money budgeted. This is a long way of saying we have any money budgeted to do any improvements to the facility or to build them a new facility at this time. This was meant to leave the option open. Yeah.
Colleagues and Chair Kelly, I think that is a discussion that the new mayor will want to have. And for this year, I would suggest another budget note saying that we're not going to put money into either renovation or improvements until the decision has been made about the future of the Mounted Patrol. Because that's such prime waterfront land, it seems incredulous to me that that would continue to be the highest and best use of it.
Okay. So I skipped over Union Station. Union Station is something that's going to take a long time and a lot of investment to bring back online. It remains a priority for the agency to do that, and we have ongoing money going into the continued rehabilitation of it. But it's just we're just kind of making the necessary repairs to keep the facility viable. Our estimates are it still is a $40 million project at a minimum. So we continue to put what little money we have into it, but it will become a redevelopment priority for the agency in the future. And in particular, we've talked about incorporating that into the master planning for the post office site. A number of people from Portland went to Denver, actually, a few weeks ago and came back talking a lot about Denver's train station redevelopment and how it was part of a larger private redevelopment. And so I think people came back thinking if we can build it into the vision for the post office, we can think about it as a commercial redevelopment project as opposed to just, I think Commissioner Fish was in Denver and saw this, as opposed to being a standalone public facility that just needs a lot of public money to make it viable. We think it's still possible for it to be part of a broader commercial redevelopment of the district, and its proximity to the post office site and what will happen there, I think, is what makes it attractive and viable.
I heard my name, but I just will say that my eyes were opened to the possibilities through that Denver trip. The fact that they saw it as a separate resource that could be activated and was, in fact, packed with people doing business and shopping. And then they created a hybrid rail and bus terminal that they had the developer pay for as a part of the privilege of having the right to redevelop the station and getting some land as part of the deal. It was pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see a train station reimagined with a highly functioning transportation hub right next door, kind of iconic. And I... I started thinking about a different, because frankly, that train station has a lot of nice history and good bones, but it's not really activated, and it could be a hub of the eventual redevelopment of that area and become more of a community gathering place with restaurants and other things with a different vision for how we manage the transportation piece.
Yeah, we agree.
It's important. Yeah. Don't want to be a wet blanket, but important to remember that most of what you saw in Denver was funded by Fast Tracks.
Federal money.
No, a $4.7 billion local sales tax measure.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was also federal. I'm sorry. There was federal, too, but yes, sorry.
Yeah, so Portland is being left behind on transit funding, even with what TriMet has in mind, by the $30 billion program in Phoenix, the $5 billion program in Denver, I'm not sure how many billion-dollar program in L.A., but it's called 3010. They're doing 30 years worth of transit projects in 10 years, and you add all those up, and again, we've spent $4 billion so far on our rail system over the course of 30 years. So it's pretty dramatic, the difference, because yes, there's 50% federal funding through New Starts, but you still have to have the local match.
Well, they did do two other things which would be unlikely that we'd ever do here. One is that as they master plan the area around Union Station, they created a favorable plan for development and mandated no affordable housing. So you've got just this huge area of high-end condos and not a single, with no vision for affordable housing integrated in. And the second thing is on the high-speed on the bus rapid transit line and some of the infrastructure they had to put in a city that obviously is dealing with more sprawl than we have, they turned that over to the private sector and gave them the tolling as right. consideration for, you know, their investment. I that's something that I think is highly unlikely we do regionally.
Right. It's going to take some creativity, yeah.
Yep, well.
In the interest of time, I'm going to kind of go a little more quickly through the other urban renewal areas, but we do have an action item for our board today. As an aside, Chair Kelly is going to be stepping out in a minute because he's going to kick off the board meeting, and then Tony and I will join him afterward. But 10th and Yam Hill, our IGA with PBOT is going forward to our board today, which will put our $5 million into the rehabilitation of that facility, and hopefully we'll be in charge of the retail and make that a more attractive environment for retail downtown. Downtown waterfront's the next urban renewal area. Like I said, I'm going to move quickly. The important point here is this is a closed district. We live on the cash we have, the assets we have, and any, you know, kind of revenues or repayments we get from this urban renewal area. So we, you know, operating in a fiscally responsible way in this district is kind of at a premium. And so when we get land sales, Third and Oak is about to sell. We sold Third and Taylor. Those funds come back in, and we're able to do things like put them in other projects as loans or address the district parking issues I mentioned earlier. So that's really the philosophy going forward. We're benefiting from what's happening in the downtown real estate market in this urban renewal area, so we do have resources coming back in, but that's not gonna last forever.
Yeah, congratulations on the Third and Oak deal, by the way. I was at the Japan American Society 60th anniversary celebration last night, and the excitement in the Japanese community about the fact that we have this Japanese hotel chain coming to only the third place in the United States, New York, Atlanta, and now Portland, on a site that was kind of written off for dead because of the difficulties of redeveloping it. Nice work.
Yeah, well, thank you. Convention Center, as we mentioned, we have the big expenditure there is the Convention Center Hotel Garage. I've talked with, I think, each of you individually about this, but we are, you know, we've stepped up to build the garage as part of the hotel. The hotel would have a garage. It would be built by somebody. We view it as an opportunity. It would be a prime asset in that 90% of the revenues on the garage are going to come from valet parking. So it, as garages go, it does represent a good opportunity. So it does allow us to put our money to work, money that's been sitting, as you saw in an earlier slide, as cash. We get to put it to work, and we can refinance that money out and put that to work in the district in later years, and hopefully at some point put money to work in the Rose Quarter, which I think we all hope to see.
Sorry to interrupt again, but I wanted to, while I have Chair Kelly here, put my two cents in about that, and that would be to have ground floor retail in that garage. I know that there's some talk of having an agreement with TriMet for the transit police, but that's right next to the Rose Quarter Transit Center would be a wonderful place to have some vibrant, active life.
So we are working with TriMet on the sale of the ground floor as a condo to allow them to move transit police there. That would help finance the garage. I think we need to talk with TriMet about the design and how if there's a way to
even one corner to have a little something would be great.
Yep. Central East Side, I think once again these are priorities we've talked about extensively here and individually. The Clinton Triangle redevelopment, hopefully we'll have an opportunity to move forward on that. We have money budgeted for the infrastructure and that piece, which we think is necessary to unlock development on those parcels. I know that there's still question council about where the Fire Bureau activities go, and so that obviously is going to happen at a later date, but we stand ready to make that investment and believe that it is an appropriate place, a catalytic spot in the district, particularly given light rail. But then the other big piece is we continue to inch closer and closer to a deal to buy the three parcels that we refer to as the ODOT blocks, and that would allow us to then proceed with development there. Small-scale redevelopment site relative to something like the post office, but equally catalytic. And I think right now the priority that we have for those sites is to figure out if we can help contribute to affordable industrial space in the neighborhood. And so our ownership of those parcels would allow us to do that.
Good point where I think I'm going to bow out. Thank you. And I'm sure these two will keep notes if there's anything else you want to pass along to me.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Patrick, on the ODOT blocks and what you just described as a possible use, would we be able to pilot some live workspace or affordable space for artists in that within that context?
I can't say yes or no on that right now. I think we are early in thinking about models for how we would what ownership would look like of that space and kind of what the economics would look like. So I know that there are a lot of activities, a continuum, if you will, there from people who are making things and artists and whatnot. And so what the economics look like on affordable industrial space and for whom, we still have to figure that out. But I think it should be on the table is, I guess, the way I would respond.
I know RAC has begun that conversation internally. Let's just make sure that RAC and PDC are talking.
Yep. So I'm going to take a break as well. You all know Sarah Stevenson from Innovative Housing. She is on our Central City Budget Committee. She's here to testify, but she has to leave, and so we want to allow her to testify before she goes.
So, thank you for accommodating my schedule. So as you said, I'm here to testify on behalf of the Central City Budget Advisory Committee, which is made up of a diverse group of stakeholders from the Central City URAs. This was my second year serving on the committee, and I just wanted to say that I was really pleased this year to see that the recommendations we made last year were taken to heart by PDC. And particularly as somebody who cares very much about affordable housing, I've been happy to see the increased coordination and cooperation between PDC and the Portland Housing Bureau. That's one of the things our advisory committee asked for last year, and it's been significantly improved and really exciting this year to see that. I also serve on the PDC Financial Sustainability Work Group that Tom Kelly mentioned earlier. And I just wanted to share with you that the Central City Budget Advisory Committee wholeheartedly supports all the efforts of that sustainability committee as well, and many of our budget recommendations were crafted with an eye towards PDC's ongoing sustainability. To that effect, we'd like to encourage both PDC's commission and City Council to commit to long-term funding, an approach that allows PDC to continue its role. It's the city's redevelopment and economic development agency. I'd like to highlight just a couple of the recommendations that our group made to PDC around the Central City budget this year. We recommended that PDC maintain its $57 million five-year funding commitment to the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan that's been mentioned. We support rebalancing between the River District and the Downtown Waterfront URA as the funding for both of those URAs have changed. Proactively exploring shared district parking opportunities and strategically pursuing new land acquisition and or redevelopment investments in the district. Those investments specifically, we'd like them to align with the pilot housing SDC waiver and otherwise encourage development of market rate housing to help achieve greater income diversity in Old Town. The committee also supported PDC's continued efforts at key Central City sites that offer strategic opportunities to accomplish long-time community-based goals and generate lasting financial support for PDC. Examples of these opportunities have been mentioned: the post office, Clinton Station, strategic locations in the Central East Side, like the ODOT blocks, and district parking investments throughout the Central City. We'd also recommended that PDC preserve as much flexibility as possible within the Central City URAs to invest resources in strategic opportunities as they arise, whether that be land acquisition or key activities such as seismic or fire and life safety improvements. So those are some of the larger recommendations we made. While Portland's facing a lot of challenges, we think it's a really exciting time for the city and for PDC, and that PDC's role is critical to moving forward in a lot of these areas. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm going to leave, too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to finish up with North McAdam and then go through the neighborhood ones, and then we'll bring Brian Alfano will come up and offer the neighborhood committee perspective. So North McAdam, the bulk of our dollars next fiscal year going into the Parcel 3 affordable housing development, so that obviously came out of the conversation last year around the set-aside. So we would, I think that's fully funded during the next fiscal year. And the remaining dollars are related to the contributions to the Bond Avenue construction in the north part of South Waterfront, as well as some additional money available for commercial development around PSU, which was, once again, part of the amended priorities for the amended district.
Patrick, there's a comment in your cover memo to us that says some Parcel 3 money has been move to FY17-18 based on revised cash flow projections. So that doesn't affect the overall amount. Is that just a question of the timing of the amount?
That's correct, Commissioner. It's a timing for Parcel 3 project.
It's a timing question.
Yeah. I misspoke.
And Patrick, the since we last spoke, the Southwest bond issue has gotten even a little more complicated because of a legal decision. So where do we stand right now in trying to scope that out? Because the cost of that project could change pretty dramatically based on a legal ruling.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to speak for PBOT. The budget for North McAdam is pretty tight, and because we, I think all of us worked through the complete full forecast on that. So we don't have a ton of extra money to move into bond to cover. So I think PBOT's trying to problem solve around what the additional cost related to bond, how that's going to be funded. But that's really where we're.
And the impact of the FEMA ruling.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll muddle through that.
Yep. So onto our neighborhood URA, starting with Interstate. Once again, Interstate still has, it's a benefit of having significant remaining indebtedness. So what you see, like in the bar chart here, is kind of distorts the total amount going to this year. But the housing is the most significant investment out of Interstate in the coming fiscal year. And then we, we'll move forward on the commercial development on MLK and Alberta, what's now the Natural Grocers development. We have some work on Lombard, but the main remaining work that we're doing in the interstate urban renewal area with the remaining non-housing tax increment is working with stakeholders in North and Northeast to really identify priorities and figure out the best way to spend those remaining dollars. So you can see a significant amount of money left in the district. But if you subtract out housing and other commitments, there really is about $30 million that we're trying to program and have it be really driven by the stakeholders in North and Northeast Portland, as I mentioned. So there'll be more clarity on that throughout the year, and probably our next budget will have particular priorities identified through that process. Lenstown Center. Significant amount of money flowing out to the four redevelopment projects that we've shared with you. So that the Asian Health Service Center, the Wiz Dame project that's right on Foster, the Palindrome project that actually crosses both sides of 92nd, and then later on maybe this year, but probably next year will be the Rose project on the back end of that Foster Road site. There's some additional money that's targeted to streetscape improvements, and then we still do a fair amount of redevelopment, business development work along. There's, Foster is a pretty extensive commercial corridor, so we do continue to invest there. And I think we're scheduled to put money to work in Leach based on an agreement from a few years back. But the bulk of dollars in Lentz are going into those four projects. The housing, and there's housing dollars, as you all know, that are going in those projects too. So the sum total is significant. I think you're all aware that in the new housing NOFA, 72nd and Foster property, which is a property that we acquired with housing, was part of that NOFA, and so that's a project that's now teed up. But that won't be funded in this coming fiscal year. That'll be in the future fiscal year.
Across the street and go to the Mercado. That's not
exactly bad. Exactly. And then we have Gateway, where dollars have, relative to the other renewal areas, have been somewhat limited. But we do have activity happening in Gateway. We Commissioner Fritz was able to break ground on the new park at 106 in Halsey over the weekend. We have an adjoining 1-acre parcel that was also included as part of the PHP NOFA. So there was a developer selected there. I think there's some ongoing conversations about how that site will be used. So I don't know if we can say exactly what's going to happen on that site, but our hope is that something will be happening on that site shortly. And then tonight we actually have the open house for the Gateway Action Plan, and we're trying to finalize the priorities for Gateway over the next few years. And so that a lot of the work that we've been doing in Gateway, besides the 106 property, is really around the Halsey-Weidler corridor and what it looks like to to generate more commercial activity along that couplet, and so we want to have money available to do that. And then there's some streetscape work as well in Gateway.
So, colleagues, you may have been getting input from community members about that one-acre property next to the Gateway Discovery Park. And I would like us to have a work session at some point in the next month or two to have a discussion about it. I think it is something that could be a catalytic project for the entire Gateway Urban Renewal District. And I know there's a lot of interest in the community for that. So how to make that happen, I think, would be a good council discussion to have in a work session. So I hope you'll agree to schedule that.
Patrick, aren't there three moving pieces? There's the park, the parcel that you have, and then there's the proposed development on the plaza. Where are we on the proposed development on the plaza piece?
The plaza is part of the park design.
You have to have part of the design, but there needs to be a plan to build on it.
No, that's the one-acre park parcel. That's the one-acre parcel is what we're talking about.
Your piece. That's on the...
You said park. There's a plaza as part of the park design that's adjacent to our one-acre parcel.
But I have some recollection of this because I was the parks commissioner when we did it. There's a plaza, and there was a placeholder for having a building on the.
And I like the way you're doing this, Commissioner. Yes,
that parks piece, and then there's the 1 acre that you have that's on the back side.
Yeah, I may not be as familiar with the design. Is there a structure prepared? Pros for the plaza? I'm not aware of that.
I was asking where we are on that. So there is
That's why we're having the work session. Well, we'll have the work session because I know that you're very invested in that. There's also an adjacent property that's could potentially be purchased, and so that's it's an amazing area that deserves our full attention, and is I know that we have PDC's commitment to do that. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll have the housing commissioner also engaged in that process.
And so last is the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts. These are all actual urban renewal areas, as you know. They're pay-as-you-go. They've performed from a tax increment perspective. They performed in kind of varying ways. They don't the activities that are happening in those districts aren't fully funded by tax increment. And so you supplement the work, the county supplements the work, and we do with various other sources, general fund, revenue sharing, as well as money that we get from E-Zone. So we will continue to make, they're very successful. I think we're all happy with the progress there, but this is obviously not a very typical urban renewal area, and I think it helps us understand the dynamics of doing urban renewal in the areas that need the most investment, meaning it's hard to create increment in these neighborhoods, so we need to figure out other ways to fund the work.
So, Mayor, you put in your proposed budget money for the Sugar Shack, which I support.
Right.
And is that it's not an MPI district? No. Is that PDC have oversight of that, or is it something on our side?
Oh, well, I think the Food funding gets routed that. Through PDC because it's a PDC loan that's being paid off.
So it's included in our budget as part of the mayor's requested budget, and then we would
administer it.
Yes. Yes, and we have an existing loan to the Sugar Shack, and we continue to have conversations with Living Cully around
that. That food service, food whatever
right.
vision
yep.
that they
yeah,
have
Nikki USA them. Is the yeah.
So. And how was that? That's not in an urban renewal district, correct?
That's in the Cully MPI.
In the Cully NPI.
Yes.
How about the Oak Leaf Trailer Park? Is that within the Cully Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative?
This stuff is
I don't believe
is it. Not that.
Is it on 47? Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
Or in the 42nd Avenue one? Because that's, I think, we're going to hear testimony tomorrow night in the budget process to look at a similar proposal to loan money to the residents of that trailer park to be able to buy their property, to buy the property and then pay it back. So I just want to raise that as something
okay.
if you could look
at. We can look in and see where it resides.
It.
The boundaries are narrow in the MPIs because they mainly conform to the commercial district, but we can double check and see where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. We're looking. I think the community is looking for creative solutions there, and so if it's whether it's PDC money or general fund money or how we can make that happen, I know we're going to get testimony in it. Thank you.
Okay. So, with that, I would like to bring up Brian Alfano, who's been with us for a number of years in the Neighborhood Economic Development Leadership Group. So, I first want to thank Brian for his service. He really has been a great partner, but he does double duty in serving on the budget subcommittee and as testified. from the committee a number of times, so thank you, Brian.
Let's also acknowledge he's the outgoing chair of the Venture Portland Board, so thank you for your
Yeah, thank you. At least you're not going to make me stand again and embarrass me, but...
we'll do that this afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Brian Alfano, and I'm here today in my capacity as the chair of the Neighborhood Economic Development Leadership Group Budget Subcommittee. That's a mouthful. Generally, the mayor's recommended budget is well aligned with the PDC's proposed budget and the recommendations of the subcommittee. This budget will fund important projects and activities in the neighborhood URAs. In Gateway, this budget will allow construction of street improvements on the Halsey-Weidler couplet, construction of the Gateway Park at 106th and Halsey. More than 100 people attended the groundbreaking ceremony on Saturday. Pre-development for mixed-income housing at 106th and Halsey. In Lentz, the budget will allow pre-development and construction of three key mixed-use, mixed-income developments in the Lentz Town Center. Construction of the Foster Road streetscape improvements. This was strongly supported by the Foster Area Business Association. Construction of improvements that substantially redesigned the Leach Botanical Gardens. And in Interstate, the budget will allow construction of Alberta Commons project that will bring natural grocers to a long vacant site at MLK in Alberta. Implementation of the Lombard Investment Strategy, implementation of the North-Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy, including Grant Warehouse Project. Budgets in the URA areas also continue key grant and lending programs that are important to wealth creation for small businesses. With regard to the general fund budget, we are appreciative that the mayor's budget continues to support the programs that increase access to economic opportunities for communities of color, those with low incomes, and neighborhoods lacking in commercial investment. Investments in the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and Main Street Network, small business technical assistance, and adult and youth workforce development, and business district technical assistance and grants. These touch thousands of businesses and individuals each year throughout the city and are a critical part of a healthy economy. The NED Leadership Group Budget Subcommittee continues to be concerned about the prioritization of a new B Corp program. We strongly recommend that Council instead fund the Powell Division BRT Action Plan and or continuation of the INCREASE project. We believe that both of these initiatives will have a direct positive impact on economic opportunities for residents and businesses. The budget subcommittee did not discuss providing additional funding for Venture Portland nor funding for the Sugar Shack Living Coley Plaza project. And while these projects are in good alignment with the NED program, the budget subcommittee has no position on these. However, as the immediate past president of Venture Portland, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind all of you today about the testimony and strong support of the funding of the East Portland Business District leaders provided before this body in February, and the record-breaking success this program has had over the last 6 months. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Brian. Questions for him? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it. So we're basically done with our presentation. I will just add at the end that we're aware that there's ongoing conversations about the general fund budget. We understand that in the mayor's proposed budget there were adds to our budget that that may I don't know how your conversation's going to go, but I can imagine if you're looking for cuts you might be looking at the ads. So you know, we continue to return to our original priorities, the recommendations of our committees. The neighborhood committee in particular had very explicit recommendations about prioritization before kind of all this. And we, generally speaking, want to restore our cuts before ad packages. That's been our position, and we would continue to hold that. Happy to be pulled into any conversations in the interim, but in generally speaking, that's been our prioritization. Restore cuts, and then let's look at our ads.
But we have a work session on Monday.
Okay.
Is that in your calendar?
Probably not, maybe.
Yeah. I think it's important.
It's probably going to be added, yeah.
I think it's important that you and your senior team be here, because there'll be questions and a lot of moving pieces. Patrick, I guess this is your last budget.
This is.
So I want to begin by thanking you for your service and the relationship you've had with the council and your good work. You can be very proud of the work you've done.
Thank you.
During your tenure. And second, someone, I think either the chair or someone, referred in passing to the long-term financial sustainability work you're doing. I continue to hope that at some point, as part of that effort at reimagining a PDC that becomes less dependent on TIF and maybe more self-sustaining through other tools, that we at least address the question of whether certain properties currently being managed by the city through OMF should be transferred to PDC for the purpose of developing and capturing some kind of ongoing revenue stream. Something the mayor has discussed in the past. Obviously, the post office site development really opens the door to a different view about maintaining a long-term interest in the lease, in the land, and then developing. But we also have some properties that the city manages that, you know, there might be an argument that if we transferred them to PDC with some conditions, it might generate, some long-term income potential that could then fund other activities. So is that part of the
Yes.
Is that on the table in those?
Yeah, so we're sharing, just quick timing update, we are sharing a first draft of this business plan we've been talking about with the Financial Sustainability Committee that Sarah serves on. And it's included in that draft, the notion that in addition to how we manage our own real estate portfolio, that we would make either asks or enter in conversations with the city and other public agencies, for that matter, about how we might administer the properties that have development potential there as a way to maximize return for both the owners of the property as well as PDC. We do think there's underutilized assets there. So yeah, it's definitely something that we'll put on the table with the business plan. It'll be up to, my successor and others to carry that. But we think it should be on the table.
Well, and I think in discussing this, we're not in any way being critical of the historic role of the city of managing property, but the city manages property with one lens, and PDC might be able to manage and develop some of that property with another lens. And to the extent it generates more return for the taxpayers and helps you get to a path of financial, self-sufficiency, all the better.
Yeah, we're the city's development agency. I mean,
thank you for your service. We'll have an opportunity, another opportunity to embarrass you and thank you, or not?
Many.
Sure. I guess you vote next week. You can really embarrass me with the vote. No,
this is plenty of time to start pulling together ammunition.
All right. Any other questions or follow-up items for Patrick or Tony? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am going to hearing. I'm going to continue this hearing of the PDC Budget Committee until tomorrow evening at 5:30, at which point we will take testimony.
Mayor, can we take a five-minute break?
We will take a five-minute break if you'd like, and then come back and do comp plan.
Get organized here.
Speaking of.
Hey, how are you guys?
You bring a box.
Yeah,
you guys are serious.
The record has to be in the house.
No, this is just the material.
Literally.